This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
Who is this?
What's that?
Who is this?
Nick Caution.
Okay.
You got to check Fran's Instagram later. Twitter, you'll have a little
breakdown.
No, that's,
this is me.
It's me. It's been on for a couple weeks now.
It's me.
Weeks, all right.
What's
how long, that? How long have you been using it?
About a week since the Eagles won the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Jack said we weren't allowed to switch while the Eagles were on the run, which is fair enough.
I'm feeling this, though. I feel it.
You like it?
Yeah.
I like it.
Feeling it. What's it called? No pressure?
Pressure.
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 Better than Creed?
Pressure.
Well, not everything could be Creed.
When you got the second most popular song going.
It's first most popular. Yeah. I'm not doing this with you. Can we do this later in the second half of it? Tuesdays with Elliot is here. Elliot Shore Parks. What's that? Oh, wait. Hold on.
Well, I said he's such a troublemaker.
Oh, Elliot?
Yes.
Yeah, well, you see it in his face also when he does it.
I mean, look, I went from doing like 80 hours of work a day to I'm just chilling. This is
yeah, you got so, nothing to do with tweeting.
Yeah, exactly, that's all you're doing is tweeting, man. I'm energized. I got all types of stuff I want to say.
Well, I was going to ask you that before. Before we get into it, and by the way, we have Elliot here every Tuesday at 3 for a full hour. What is it? So you have a, like you basically have a cadence to your week when the Eagles are happening, right? You know what you do every certain day. You know what you're looking forward to. You know what you're back on. What is it like to go into this point? Are you just on to the next, okay, I'm going to follow the offensive coordinator thing, then we'll get into free agency. Is that how it works?
Well, you're definitely right. Like, I mean, I'm sure all of us felt this way. For a 6 weeks, 7 weeks, it was we all knew coming and work exactly what we were going to talk about. And so there's that difference. But I mean, the thing about the Super Bowl is it goes so far into the offseason that I'm leaving for the combine in like a week. So I'm already looking at free agency. And I'm sure we'll talk about it, but just what guys will get paid. I'm excited to dig into the draft. I think it's going to be a big draft this year because I don't think they'll be active in free agency. So I think a lot of the new players that'll contribute next year will come into the draft. So, yeah, I mean, for me, it's just turning the page right away.
And from we were just talking about this from a free agency standpoint. I find the NFL salary cap to be confusing. Not confusing in that it is a hard cap. So you see what the number is, but it's very hard to figure out. For a normal person,
it's a very loose cap because you can really manipulate it in a ton of different ways.
Yeah, you can manipulate it most notably in what the player is costing against that year by pushing money off to other years. It would be fair to say, though, they can't afford to keep all of the big four of the free agents, right?
Correct. So, actually, good timing because I just published in the Go Birds feed a half-hour breakdown of in detail of their cap situation.
Oh, I wish that was there this morning.
There you go. It'll be a few for your walk tomorrow.
Okay.
So, this is one of the tightest salary cap situations I can remember the Eagles having. So they have somewhere between 18 to 20 million in salary cap space, which sounds like a lot, but they normally like to keep around 10 million for the following season to have through the year. And you have to pay your draft class. So that's $3-4 million. So a decent chunk of that is somewhat already spoken for. So when you talk about Mekhi Becton, Josh Sweat, Milton Williams, Zach Bond, I think they'll keep one of them. I think they'll re-sign Zach Bond. The other three, I think Milton Williams is probably gone. I think Josh Sweat's definitely gone. And Mekhi Becton, maybe if the market isn't what they think, because I know they like him, but I think they're entering this offseason thinking they're going to get a lot of compensatory picks next year.
Because of these free agents.
Because they're going to lose. Josh Sweat will get paid, Milton Williams will get paid, and I think Mekhi Becton will get paid. So if those three all get big deals and you yourself don't sign a big deal, you then get, I think, will likely be third-round picks. So if you let those three guys walk, you're getting third-round picks in 2026 for them, in my opinion.
Okay. So there's no world in which they're keeping all of these guys?
No.
No.
Okay.
No.
All right. And there's probably no world in which they're keeping two. Maybe two is the max,
I
would say.
I think two is the max. Like,
especially if one of them is Bond, because that number's not as high.
I think Bond is emotionally very, like, people are super in on him. I think financially, it's not going to be a big deal. If you look, so I think you can argue Zach Bond was the best linebacker in the NFL this year, right? Like,
you could.
Right?
Yep.
But he is not going to get paid like the best linebacker. If you look at him, so he's 28 now, he'll be 29 in December. Of the top 10 linebackers contracts in the NFL right now, only one of them is above 28. Of the top five, all of them are like 24 and 25 years old. So while I think you could definitely sit here and say he was just as good as Fred Warner and Roquan Smith and Patrick Queen, he's not going to get paid like them. So the Zach Bond deal, to me, it'll be a big raise for him. Like, if, and he's earned it and he deserves it. But for the Eagles, like, I don't think that'll be viewed as a big contract.
Right, so you're probably talking about a guarantee around $30 million,
no,
right?
Even, no,
not even that
no,
much?
No, I think he'll get $15 million, something like
guaranteed.
That.
Guaranteed, really?
I think his deal,
wow.
I think his deal will be something like 3 years, $30 million, with a lot of that $30 million in the third year. And the first 2 years, that'll be
20.
Where the guaranteed money is. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, now, maybe he gets 18. Maybe.
But I mean,
like,
he probably makes about 20 in those
first
2 years.
Yeah, agreed. I think he'll get the guaranteed money and then a few million on top of that from being here for 2 years. But, and again, awesome year, deserves all of it. But he'll be 29 in December. He has 1 year of really good play.
Yeah.
I just, linebackers don't get paid if you're old. So, and he's old for that position, according to the top paid guys.
Hmm. Yeah.
And the Eagles do have a ceiling as to what they're going to pay a linebacker.
Sure.
Yeah.
They always have.
Yeah.
And it's worked out for them generally when they do that.
I just think we view it as like, will they pay Zach Bond all this money? I don't think Zach Bond is going to get a ton of money. Now, to Ike's point, will they go to $9 million a year for him? I think they will, just because $15 million guaranteed, which is what I think he'll get, is not that much guaranteed. If you spread it out over 5 years, you're talking about a salary cap hit of like $4 million. So it's not a huge commitment to him.
Is there a year coming up where that they have their pay the piper year where they've push money?
So in 2026, so the following season, they have $36 million in salary cap space currently.
Okay.
So that number will shrink because when you pay people the way the Eagles do, you'll sign them in 2025 and then you push a lot of that into 26, 27, 28. But the way they currently do it, there is not a paid the piper year. The only year they've ever been hurt by the way they do it was the COVID year. And that was obviously unpredictable, right? Like, you didn't see that coming. But the way they pay these people and the way they're able to do it is Jeffrey Lurie writes big signing bonus checks, and then they stretch it out over like 5-6 years. So there was a good piece from Albert Breer yesterday. If you look at the Eagles' top 12 players, their average salary equals out to like $215 million. That's what they should count against the cap. They cost like $105 million.
Because of all the upfront money they spend.
Because of all the... And that's Lurie. That's Lurie cutting big checks. That's how they do it.
Yeah, Howie deserves credit for what he does.
For sure.
But we've mentioned this a bunch of times. It's really about Lurie being willing to put money up front.
Put that money up there.
Yep. And then, well, that's why you sell that 8%, right? Get a little more cash in the pocket.
It's funny. The story by Albert Breer, who has a Boston connection, I thought read a little bit like, man, look what a great owner this guy is. He's a culture builder. Look at all the resources he puts in. Like, if I was selling the Celtics and I read that, I'd be like, this guy seems like a pretty good guy to sell it to.
Oh, so you think, even though he denied it. He said you'd always be interested, but he said he wasn't going to buy the Celtics.
Right.
I pretty much know he was interested in buying the Celtics.
Maybe he won't get them, but I think
Do you think he's still in on trying to buy them?
I think he has interest, yeah.
Okay.
It's his childhood team. He flies like half the roster there every year to watch the games. Like, and by the way, I think it's fine if he buys the Celtics, just like I think it's fine Josh Harris owns Washington.
And,
like,
you think,
and I'll be curious
fine.
To see what people say, because I heard a lot of like, well, Jeffrey would never do that. He's invested, unlike Josh Harris, right?
Well, it wouldn't be a problem until the Eagles aren't having a good year and the Celtics are.
Well,
that's when it would be a problem.
Well, here's the other thing. the Sixers aren't going to be challenging the Celtics for the title anytime
soon. No, probably not anytime soon.
A long time. Yeah. But, like, I do think the one, and it's almost an unfortunate reality, like, Josh Harris can own multiple teams because he's not at the facility every day. Like,
yeah.
I can't tell you how many days I go to Eagles practice, week 7, 8, 9, and Jeffrey's car is in his spot. Like, he is there a lot. So if he were to buy the Celtics, and I know this is off track, I'd just be curious to see how he would juggle it.
It's called a private jet.
Yeah.
True.
Yeah.
But, I mean, Josh Harris is kind of an absentee owner anyway, so it's not a huge deal. Like, Jeffrey Lurie is very involved. If he were to buy the Celtics, I would think that he would want to be very involved there.
I totally agree with you.
And the other thing he has to worry about, if he were to buy the Celtics, by the way, not from an Eagles standpoint, they next year, the Celtics, and for the next 3 years or whatever, are going to have the most monstrous
luxury tax
bill in NBA history. Yeah. Whoever buys the team is going to have to decide whether they're willing.
You think that makes it a less attractive buy?
Well, not
you understand that more than I do.
Not less attractive. It just, you know, these guys do like making money and don't like spending tons and tons and tons of money. So the NBA is not like the NFL in that way,
it's
a monstrous bill.
Yes.
It is a monstrous bill. One other free agent thing. I just worry. I understand why Bond would be the most likely to come back. And Bond was definitely the second best player on the defense, maybe the best. Jalen Carter, Zach Bond, whatever.
Yeah.
The reason that Josh Sweat ends up being the number one guy to me is that I just don't see where the Josh Sweat thing, I don't see who is playing
the
there.
Edge rusher.
Right, who the edge rusher is, especially if you don't have money to go replace. And I think that becomes very, very difficult for me. Yes, you can count on Nolan Smith, but I'm not ready to say that Jalix Hunt is playing 80% of the snaps next year. And I think if BG is gone too, that's a pretty big hole to fill, especially for a defensive line where I think you could argue that of every part of their team this year, defensive line was the only one that you look at and you go, well, aside from Jalen Carter, there's no game changer out there.
Yeah,
yet.
I mean, you hope Nolan Smith turns into that. I think he's on his way to becoming that. You have to hope that's what he is.
First round pick. They're going to give him a shot to do it.
Yeah. Now, I really like Jalix Hunt. I agree with you. I wouldn't love the idea of Nolan Smith and Jalix Hunt being your starters next year. If you were a mid-table team, like mid of pack or whatever, then yeah, I could see it. But if you're trying to win a Super Bowl, you can't go into Jalix Hunt.
What do you mean? We got Bryce Huff.
Well, that's Huff. I think Bryce Huff will be back. Barring him,
you gotta give him another shot at this.
They didn't give him a shot at this.
Well,
they gave him a shot to begin.
He wasn't even on the field all year.
He was on the field for the first half of the year.
He was on the field for the whole training camp.
Yeah.
Can't believe you're doing this.
No, I'm not getting back into the Bryce Huff.
He had zero. Did he have one pressure this year?
I think it's pretty clear Vic Fangio decided he couldn't play and that was it. It's not like he got 10 weeks of 80% snaps and like, let's see if it works out.
We couldn't afford that.
Dude.
I agree.
Think of this, though.
But I don't think they're going to play him next year is the point I'm making.
Okay. I'm just saying he's still on the roster.
Think about this.
He's there.
He was there at the Super Bowl,
Brandon was playing, 40% of the snaps?
Yes.
Yeah.
Still, you saw moments where you're like, Brandon changed the game there.
Bryce
Huff, I remember one play, he got half a sack, and I think he was gifted the half sack.
I agree with you.
Okay.
Bryce Huff was a disappointment.
Okay.
But to the edge thing, I'm just saying, they didn't really give him a shot, but whatever. We can move on.
He got a shot.
Yeah, I got like a little bit of a shot. Not a $35 million shot, I can tell you that much. Yeah.
He got a $35 million check, and he gave a $1 million.
He probably expected to be able to play after
he
picking the Eagles.
He did play, though. He did play.
If I was a defensive free agent, I'd be a little... I'd be a little weary. Like
you'd be a little weary. Zach Bond came here, had this best year of his career. Milton Williams had the best year of his career.
He wasn't a free agent.
Josh Sweat had one of the best years of his career.
Also not a free agent.
But
what I'm saying is, like, Devin White and Bryce Huff elected to come here.
Yes.
Right.
And they were, in my opinion, not given chances to...
Oh, Devin White deserved to play.
He was the starter all training camp. And then all of a sudden,
he
was inactive
benched last year.
Well, we'll never know. Like,
no, we did. No, he sucked.
I saw him in training camp, and I thought he looked fine.
Now, there we go.
If you give him a chance in a real game, we could have
found
out.
We roll with you on your QB stats. Well, stay away from the defense.
Talk about an all-time victory lap for the QB stats.
Not doing that here.
He won Super Bowl MVP.
Like, he did.
I don't think they'll ever be more validated than
they were
this year.
After he threw about 8 passes a game.
Franchise record.
We'll get to it. Franchise record that he set, and you've only been keeping training camp stats for like 11 years.
Has a better year, tell me. But like, okay. That is the most, the franchise record. I didn't see anyone dispute it.
Do you think Nick Sirianni should get to pick his offensive coordinator?
So I think it's a complicated question, but my overall answer would be no. So I think...
Let's get no say?
No, I think he should have a say, okay. And I think he should absolutely be included in it, but like... Okay.
He shouldn't have final say.
If Nick says, I want to hire Kevin Petullo, if I'm Howie Roseman and Jeffrey Lurie, I would be very worried about that decision. I think the Eagles have two really good things going with this offensive coordinator spot. They have the job itself, which I think you could argue is the best offensive coordinator job in the NFL. You get to call plays, you become a head coach, and you have an unbelievable set of skilled players to work with, right? So, like, if you're going to take an offensive coordinator job, this is the one you want in the NFL. So I think they can attract the best offensive minds that
like
are
who?
Out. Well, I don't know who they are, but I'm saying...
The only reason I say that is that we're late in the hiring process.
Yeah, that's
I don't know where that coach is at.
But Kevin Petullo is already here. Like, he's already in the building. So
I understand that.
And I know you said, well, like, if he's in a position of power, maybe he has different ideas, and maybe?
Well, I'm also saying go find the best guy you can find.
I think you already have Kevin Petullo. I think to waste a resource like this position, because the second other thing I think they have of value here is Howie's Rolodex. Like, I think Howie's best job or best attribute as a GM is the connections he has around the league. That's why he's good at acquiring guys. That's why he's good at getting good deals in free agency. And so I think Howie would have a better idea of who, like, the best up-and-coming offensive minds are when it comes to hiring for this position.
I like Howie, too. First of all, Kellen Moore was fired. Was he not jobless?
I mean, in the way that they got a new head coach. It's not like, I mean, unless...
Well, yeah, that means the coach that came in fired him.
Right, yes, but everyone from the previous staff is normally fired.
That's, no, not really.
I would say like 70% of the staff.
But if you're such a bright mind, you usually aren't.
No, I agree.
You're usually retained.
Yeah.
So I don't want to poop on Kellen Moore, who was our offensive coordinator of our Super Bowl team.
Oh, guy's got like $50 million.
Although he's trying to... No, believe me. Yeah. Believe me, I was coming. Believe me, I'm coming back around because he helped orchestrate the 30th ranked passing offense in the league
right. This
year, which is what he's known for.
Yeah.
So the bright mind on hiring, the bright idea guy, right? When Shane Steichen left. Whose bright idea was it to hire Brian Williams? Brian Johnson.
No, yes.
So I
always forget
that
about
was not Howie.
Ben Johnson, Detroit.
That was not Brian Howie. Who was that?
I think that was a Nick and Jalen thing.
Nick Sirianni
guy.
Hired
Nick
Brian.
I'm sure Howie was on board with it, but what I mean, Brian Johnson, although I don't know, I guess he is a Howie guy. Because of Florida. I guess there is that connection. He'd bring him in the building. You're right.
Okay. All right.
Wow. I got there.
That's the quickest you back down ever.
I'm always willing to admit when I'm
wrong. Well, because here's my thing. Everybody, and listen, I'm Super Bowl drunk as well. But now all of a sudden, Howie does no wrong.
No.
He can make no bad hires.
I just think, look, if Nick said to me, there's someone outside the building I really like.
Frank Reich?
So Frank Reich, I would like in the way that he would just be here. You don't have to worry about losing him. No one's hiring away Frank Reich. But I think this is, like they can't.
Are we still worried about, on one hand,
I'm saying that's the only positive to Frank Reich for me, he'll be here a long time.
Right. Well, hold on, though. My thing is that you seem to be promoting the job as a launching point for other coaches. So
correct.
You want guys to come here and then leave.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't want them to leave, but I think it's an ability to attract the best young offensive minds. Because I don't want to run it back next year.
What young offensive mind is attracting? Where is that guy? That's where Howie's connections come in.
They should hire Josh McCown.
Where's these connections at?
He's been in the league for like
You know what the connection
years.
Is? It's called a paycheck. It's called offering the guy the biggest check.
Yeah, again.
What do you mean? Kellen Moore was hot? What are you talking about? Like, Kellen Moore and them, nobody was banging on Kellen Moore's door last year to hire him.
What's the benefit of promoting Kevin Petula?
I don't even know.
Right, exactly.
Here's the thing. This is not a hire Kevin Petula thing. This is a, if this is what Nick Sirianni wants, this is what I'm okay with. So understand that's my premise. This, I don't know Kevin Petula. I haven't seen him call plays, right. So I don't know. I'm saying I'm trusting the head coach that if this is what he wants, I'm okay with that. That's all I'm saying.
So I definitely think
Nick... The same way if he wanted to bring in Frank Reich, I'd be okay with it.
Right, so... I guess where I would fall on it is I definitely think Nick should be involved in the process.
That's
and all that.
The point I'm making.
For sure. Like, I don't think Nick should just get a text one day like, oh, by the way, we hired Kellen.
Okay. So at least we agree on that.
My take is more, I do not want to promote Kevin Petula.
Got you.
I think this is an opportunity to get a young mind from outside the building. I don't want continuity for the most part next year. I'm not saying you have to rebuild the whole offense, but if they
you
run
don't
it back.
Want continuity.
With, I'm saying, like, I want new wrinkles to the offense next year. I want 20, 30% different.
What, how'd that work for us this year?
Well, they won the Super Bowl. I mean, I think it worked out pretty well. I feel like it worked out
well,
okay.
Answer I'm giving half of the offseason.
Exactly.
Yes, they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, so it depends where I fall on.
But the new wrinkles were mostly, they said goodbye to a lot of the new wrinkles after week four.
Now, I do think we have...
We didn't see all that motion and all that stuff.
No, I agree. And I thought that was always overrated. But, like, the blitz stuff, they were way better against the blitz. And I can't sit here and say Kellen was this percentage, whatever. They were. They were better against the blitz than they were in
20. Give him the numbers, Spike. Give them to him.
Mr. DVOA over here.
No. He's just...
But it's true.
Look, his quarterback rating, yes. Jalen's quarterback, and this, I look, if you're listening to me right now, I'm being forced to do this.
Yeah.
This isn't a crap on Jalen thing. I promise it's not. But he was the worst quarterback against blitz pressure in the NFL this year. He was sacked by...
You're talking about EPA. Passer rating? Okay,
EPA.
Right, yeah.
Which is, you don't want to be 37th of 37.
I agree.
And he was, I think, 29th or 30th in sack rate against the blitz this year.
Yep.
So, solved... Were they better?
They were
okay.
Yeah.
Offense and the passing offense look better this year or last year?
It probably looked the same, if not better. So like, but
AJ had a career year last year.
Yeah. They were Mr. Eye Test. They were unable to run an offense at the end of 2023. They were so bad against the blitz.
But also,
so they were way better against the blitz this year. They were not the best.
You want to always throw out the end of 2023 in other discussions? Because the end of 2023, Josh Sweat was also invisible.
Yes.
And now he's about to get $20 million as an edge. We can't even keep him. He's so expensive.
Right.
So the end of 2023, if we're just going to throw it out in terms of Nick and Jalen's win and loss record,
But that's completely different.
No, it's not.
Because I'm talking about a change from year to year. When I throw out the end of 2023, I'm talking about a four-year sample size where I think there is a clear point that was not what they normally are. When you're talking about the changes in the offense and the new wrinkles this year, I think you have to bring up the blitz.
I'm just talking about they looked like they had given up against the blitz at the end of 2023.
Agreed. That's how bad it was.
Yeah, but I think that's a little different than saying they solved it this year. Because if he's swallowing it and getting a sack.
Oh, goodness gracious. Whoa.
Where's Jack at? Yeah.
we got to take a break. We'll finish this next. We'll actually talk about what we can expect from Jalen next year. And if you remember the whole Jonathan Martin, Richie Incognito, Bullygate story.
I wonder which year AJ liked better.
Which year did he think was better?
Yeah, I'm guessing a lot of players liked the Brian Johnson offense better.
If you remember the Jonathan Martin, Richie Incognito thing, there was a little bit of news that maybe the whole thing didn't come to us as it was to them, and that came from Jonathan Martin. All that's next. This is a WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.
True crime fans will love Crime House True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Every Monday, you'll experience the most notorious true crime cases from that week in history, all linked by a common theme. From serial killers to disappearances to unsolved murders and so much more. Follow and listen to Crime House True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Tuesdays with Elliot going on. Hey, thanks to Mark and Nick, who are sitting in the studio today from the Eagles Autism Challenge for Radiothon. And they brought mustard, which normally you'd be like, why did somebody bring mustard? Churchy's the name of it. The banana pepper mustard.
So good.
It was awesome.
It was unbelievable.
The champagne mustard, also, the way I would describe the champagne mustard is it's like a Chinese hot mustard, but just not quite as hot.
I feel like it's like a classy spicy mustard.
Yes, I feel very classy.
You
now.
Put out at a party and be like, who brought spicy mustard? Man, it's like, no, who brought
about,
the champagne
man?
Mustard?
Yeah, you say champagne
exactly,
mustard. It's a whole different thing.
Yeah.
So thank y'all. It was very, very, very good. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Make your special someone feel like a world champion every day with a custom diamond engagement ring from Mark's. Online at marks-jewelers.com. Should Nick Sirianni be able to pick his own offensive coordinator, even if it's internal? 58.4% say yes. 41.6% say no. I do think the entire dynamic of Nick winning the Super Bowl, Howie and Jeffrey probably don't think very much different of Nick between now and 2 months ago.
Oh, they should.
But Nick feels different, right? In terms of empowerment, all those sorts of things. I personally just think the dynamic of how do you empower him, but also keep him doing what he is best at, which is what is best for the team, is an interesting dynamic that they'll have to face.
Yeah, I think this is the first true test of like the Nick Sirianni-Howie Roseman relationship. Because Nick's never really had a guy to like go to bat for in a big way. Mm-hmm. You know, when he was hired here, they brought Shane Steichen. Brian Johnson, as me and Ike pointed out, was a Howie guy, but he at least was already on the staff.
Yep.
Kevin Petullo, I don't know if it can be stated enough. Like, that's Nick's guy. Like, they have been together for a long time. It was in Indianapolis. I asked Nick about the Super Bowl, and he said, there's not a decision I make on or off the field that Kevin Petullo is not involved with. Now, the good news is, it doesn't look like Kevin Petullo is going to leave as of now. I think Doug Nussmeier is going to get the offensive coordinator job in New Orleans, and you haven't heard of Petullo attached anywhere else. But also, Kevin Petullo made it clear at the Super Bowl when I talked to him. Like,
he wants to be OC.
He wants that job. And he even referenced, I'm paraphrasing here, but like, he's been passed over or has passed over on other jobs that would have been, I think, like he considers a step up. Mm. So if it comes down to...
This all sounds like, we better hire him.
Well, this is where I think like the crux of the question is. If Howie and Jeffrey feel there is that he is not the best option, but Nick wants him, and Kevin Petullo is going to leave, like, that is the first true... Like, Nick and Howie get along great. I don't think there's any issues there, but this is the first, I think, real time where Nick can put his foot down and be
right.
Like, I win all the time. I just signed a new contract extension with you.
Like, flex that muscle,
I'm
coach.
I just won the Super Bowl. Like, this... I mean, and honestly, that's what happened with Doug.
Yep.
Right? So we can look back at Doug now and say Doug was power hungry, but Nick hasn't really had an option to be power hungry the first 4 years. Like, now's his first time where he can really be power hungry if he wants.
And quite frankly, the guy has been kicked a lot.
Yeah.
While he was down, he's basically been told, you don't do anything.
Yeah.
Stay out of the way. Like, he's had to endure a lot of public scrutiny, questioning of his job. What does he do? Not just locally, nationally as well.
Yeah.
And he has a chance to everybody who he just won the Super Bowl. He just out-coached Andy Reid.
I just wonder about the dynamics. If I know this is going down.
You were rolling.
I was rolling there for a minute. Then I caught myself like, oh, he didn't really outcoach him. But
he won by a lot of points.
He did.
I think this is the first time where, like, what if Kevin Petullo really is going to leave if they don't give him the job? Like, what do you do?
That's what I'm saying.
Like, how does Nick feel if, you know, they do hire somebody else and it's not somebody that maybe he had a prior connection to and Kevin's gone? Like, this is the first time I think there's a true chance where they got to navigate this one right. Otherwise, this is a hard part of winning the Super Bowl.
And here's the other thing. If it doesn't work with Petullo, you can always, after the season.
Yeah, but...
Yeah, that's tough, too. Like, you're firing his friend. I don't know.
Well,
I'm just saying, if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
No, I know. But
yeah, somebody's going to get fired.
I mean, also, Kevin Petullo's never called plays. So there is that component to this.
And Jalen brought that up. Jalen also brought up that what did he say at the end? I've been told or I've learned that this is not my job.
Well, I think the funniest part of the Jalen answer was he gets asked, so what do you think of, like, Petullo as a coordinator? And the first thing you could tell he wanted to say was, well, he's never been a coordinator. And then he caught himself halfway through. And then so my impression was Jalen didn't seem, you know, super into the idea of Kevin Petula.
That's not the way it presented.
Well, here's the other, if we want to go down the other angles of this. Like, Petula is clearly a Nick guy. Clearly. I think Jalen and Nick's relationship is in a good place. But, like, I don't know. Does Jalen want, like, Nick and his guy in full control of the offense?
I don't know. I don't know. I know that I don't know. I would guess, based on what he has said and based on the fact that he is a quarterback, Jalen Hurts does not want to be throwing the ball 17 times a game next year. Jalen
For
Hurts.
Sure. The
straight jacket comment was obvious. He's a Super Bowl MVP. I understood why they did what they did. He understands probably why they did what they did. And maybe them doing what they did after all those turnovers, maybe the reason he was so good in the NFC Championship game in the Super Bowl is because he has a better perspective on what is appropriate risk and what isn't. And maybe what we saw was the true, this is what we can expect out of Jalen Hurts, which, by the way, if he plays at that level, you know, not every single game, you know, he'll have bad games. If he plays at the level he played, he is an MVP candidate.
For sure.
All this stuff about elite QB, if Jalen Hurts plays that way, Jalen Hurts is an elite QB. Mm. Jalen Hurts is in the MVP conversation. The question is who is the best offensive coordinator to be able to bring that out of him for an entire season next year?
And that's why I want to go outside the building, because I just think the ideas that are in the building are already there, right? Like, if you if a player gets hurt, you don't just automatically go like, well, let's see who the best on the practice squad is. Like, you have an ability to look
sometimes
outside.
Sometimes you got it too deep,
sometimes
though.
You have to. You do. But, like, they don't have to right now. So, Kevin Petula is already there under contract. Like, he is there. So, you're going to have Kevin Petula unless he gets hired away. And if I'm Lurie, just, like, pay him an extra $1 million or something. Like, make him happy. But,
yeah, just give him extra
million. Exactly. Yeah. Not my money. I mean, you're not buying the Celtics.
You.
So, you got a lot of... But I think this is such a good chance to bring into your point, Spike, someone that might have a different idea.
Well, here's the thing I would say. I would want to know who that is. I know it's hard for anybody to single out who that is right now, but if I had a list, and I know we talked about Josh McCown.
I want to hear that they interview Josh McCown. That's all I want.
Yeah.
You love
talk
Josh
to the
McCown.
Guy.
Well,
and I'd be okay with Josh.
I think it's an
now that I realize it's not Josh McDaniels
guy.
I'm thinking about. Yeah, it's Josh McCown.
Last week,
Look, I don't want to give... It's very hard to decipher who gets credit for what, especially at a different place.
Mm-hmm.
However, because Kevin O'Connell should get a ton of credit for what the Minnesota Vikings did offensively, he should get credit for what's his name? Sam Bradford. For what Sam Darnold did, I also think they should get credit for the fact that, I know I bring him up a lot, but Daniel Jones knew he wasn't going to play there, but wanted to go there because he saw what they did with quarterbacks. The quarterback coach there is Josh McCown. Josh McCown is not only the quarterback's coach there, but when he was here and when he was a player, he was known as a good culture guy.
For sure.
The players liked him. They looked up to him. And I do think there is something to a quarterback going to coach a quarterback. And it's not like Josh McCown was spectacularly talented. Like, a lot of times you see coaches...
Well, those are usually your best coaches.
Yes. Right. Yeah. I was going to say, you see it in every sport, by the way.
Yeah.
You see it in basketball. It's never it's not
They're not the
Lue.
Naturally gifted athletes that some of these other superstar players
It's not
players
Michael
are.
Jordan. It's Tyronn Lue who's in there doing it. It's Steve Kerr who's in there doing it. So there is, again... Josh McCown wasn't calling plays. I understand it, but there's for them to do what they did with a quarterback there and who was left for dead, and him to just be quarterback's coach there and could leave for a coordinator. You just have to talk to him.
I agree. I think he'd
be so. You'd be okay with McCown, even though he's never called plays.
So I was going to ask you guys that. So the calling of plays. On one hand, I do think it matters. I do. Like, we saw when Brian Johnson didn't have experience in doing it. And I think a lot of things went into that year. I don't think it was just a lack of calling plays. But this year coming up, and I think we learned this with Kellen Moore, and we also saw it on the Mic'd Up, like, they showed two examples in that Super Bowl where Nick essentially called to play. Like, hey, call it, let's go for the kill. And another time where he's like, let's run it right up the middle. So Nick calls some of the plays. Jalen calls some of the plays. And then there's also audibles and stuff. So in an ideal world, I do want an offensive coordinator that has experience calling plays. I think there's value to it, and that's where I would lean. But I think with Jalen going into another year where he had a full year of control before the snap, and I think we probably undersold how involved Nick would be, I don't know if I'm not as committed to it as I used to be, but where are you guys at with it?
Slowly moving closer and closer to my side.
It's always the right side to be on, it feels like.
You know where it's important to call the right plays, Ike?
When?
The bedroom.
I'm
great
excited.
Great segue there. I like that.
Yeah. This is the first time we've talked about Blue Chew with strangers in the studio,
yeah,
I have to admit.
Yeah.
It's
thank God it's two men.
Yeah, there's... I'm going to talk right to you,
yes,
Mark and Nick.
Yes.
Look.
But it's good because it's a comfortable conversation to have.
Yes,
you
totally.
You should feel comfortable
just
talking
amongst
about
friends
it.
Here.
No shame.
None
at all. Look,
none.
Sometimes when you got to call a play and it's going to be a bigger play than you thought, you might need to call an audible. That audible is a Blue Chew, my friend. That audible gets you ready for, you look. You realize it's that time. You realize you want to be at peak performance. You have to make a call at the line. That audible, Blue Chew. Because it's chewable, Ike.
Yeah.
You don't need to have a glass of water in there.
Nope. Just pop that bad boy in and get the chewing.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
That's what she's going to sound like, just with the higher voice.
Wow. Watching this live.
Yeah. I'll tell you.
Same act.
You really watch it live.
Yeah, with a Blue Chew.
Oh, my God.
Just keep one in your wallet, man. That's what I'm saying. You never know when it's going to be time, you know?
Yeah.
Same active ingredients as Viagra, Cialis, Levitra, and Staxin, but it's in chewable form. It's made here in the USA.
Best
because
part.
We are patriots here, yeah. So we support that.
God bless America.
They prepare it and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy. You don't have any weird, awkward conversations with a doctor's office. You don't have to do that.
Nope, worst part.
You don't have to. I'll tell you what the worst part is. Waiting in line at the pharmacy.
Exactly.
Don't have to do that either.
It's like been there.
Yep. You just go to bluechew.com. You meet with one of their licensed medical providers. It's very quick. I can tell. Well, that
you
part
won't be
is
quick, but that part is
quick.
Yeah,
that part is quick. Yep. You fill out the form. They figure out what the best mix of ingredients are for you, and they ship it to you direct in a discreet package. Look, and here's the best part. Free.
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 Free at last.
Go to Blue
Black History Month. Yeah, I wasn't ready for that one, were you?
I wasn't ready for that one either. Go to bluechew.com, consult with the provider, and you get your first month for free, and then you will be ready to
chew it and do it.
Oh, you don't have the
line.
Chew it and do it song?
Oh, is it supposed to be there? I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I didn't know.
That's okay.
What do you think your job, role in this?
I blame Jack. I blame Fritz.
What do you think your role is in this?
Did Fritz give you a whole document with everything about the show?
Yeah, but nothing with Blue Chew on it.
Well, yeah. That's because he doesn't look at the document.
Nope.
All right. 215-592-9490. So what do you expect out of Hurts next year? So do you would not expect him to have, I'm actually just asking you,
yeah,
what sort of year? Because my guess would be it wouldn't be similar to this year. What do you expect out of Jalen next year?
I truly think, like, if I could buy stock in a player, I would buy it in Jalen. I think the Super Bowl win is going to catapult this guy to the next level.
Elite.
Now, well, you already have him as the second best quarterback in the NFL.
He is the second best quarterback.
What
in the
level
NFL.
Is there?
Ooh, I didn't know you put that ranking out there.
Yeah,
there you go, E.
Hey, I said before the Super Bowl, if he wins, that he should be number two.
Okay.
Like, so when he
was
won.
This is when you were telling me the other guy was better and they were going to win.
By the way, I think that's been, well, I was wrong about that. But I've been proven correct that it is the next best rival.
Hold on. But you did say if they won, regardless of how he plays,
yes,
he was number two.
Because winning Super Bowls matters.
Okay.
I don't know if you know.
Wasn't regardless of how he played, though.
How many Super Bowls did Josh Allen have, Spike?
None. How many does Dan Marino have?
Does Joe Burrow have a Super Bowl, Spike?
How many does Dan Marino have?
But Dan,
is Dan Marino a better quarterback
one.
Than Jalen Hurts?
Probably.
Is he or is he not?
I just said, yeah. I said probably.
No?
What do you want me to say?
Is he or is he not?
Whose career do you think Dan Marino would rather
have? That's not the ranking. The ranking isn't which career you'd like to have. The ranking is who's better.
But I think the ranking should indicate, like, who would, like, Jalen has the second best resume of any quarterback in the NFL.
Was Jim Plunkett the second best quarterback in the NFL?
I don't care about Jim Plunkett.
He's a two-time Super Bowl winner.
Yes, he won two Super Bowls.
But regardless.
Was Joe Flacco the second best quarterback in the NFL?
I'd have to go back at the rankings at that point.
Probably right?
But like Mahomes, I mean, if we want to do this, but like Mahomes is number one because he is arguably the best, but also because he has Super Bowls.
Yeah.
Like that's why he is not, that's why we never say, well, maybe it should be Josh Allen. Like,
and he played well.
And so did Jalen Hurts.
Okay. So what do you, instead of dancing around, what do you expect out of him next year?
Yeah, I think Jalen is going to be awesome next year. I don't know how you want me to like quantify this. Like I think he will be an MVP candidate.
MVP candidate.
I think he will be without question a top five quarterback. Like, I think we will see the best year of Jalen's career next year.
Okay. So more games, you would assume we will see more games like we saw in the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl.
So I think you could, but I don't need to see that to validate what I think will be the top five quarterback.
Like, so they could have the 29th best pass offense next year, and he would still be the second best quarterback.
It just doesn't matter to me.
Like, I'll tell you who it does matter to.
And, well, the guys catching the ball.
yeah, I agree with that.
Well, also, you're probably not going to have the same Saquon.
Probably not. Next year. I would agree with that.
You know, so,
yeah, I think
you would agree. They can't have a 29th passing offense.
Yeah, obviously. Yes. But the point I'm making is, when I judge Jalen,
you're the top
10
passing offense.
It's not going to be like when I think of Jalen playing awesome in the Super Bowl, it wasn't because he had X amount of yards. It was just when he threw it. He only threw it 22 times, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yes, but you could tell when you were watching.
Like Troy Aikman. Yeah.
But I'm saying if he's only throwing it 22 times, they're not going to be like a top 10 passing offense.
No.
In fact, I think if you look at most top 10 passing offenses, they're all bad teams.
Well, that's not true.
I'd have to look it up, but I'm pretty sure.
I don't think so.
I'm wrong.
Well, but
I'm saying teams that throw it a lot are traditionally
behind. Usually, yes.
Well,
that's what he's saying.
Behind a lot.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yes.
I
don't think the Ravens' passing offense was much different than the Eagles.
Well, yeah. Well, he threw 44 touchdown passes.
He did. That mattered. I'm just saying, I think the Ravens' passing offense is
low
down as well.
No, I agree. When you look at the Bills' offense.
I'll have to look it up.
And I mentioned this to Ike.
He's the best.
When you talk about.
I'll give it to you. That was good.
Josh Allen's numbers were not like Joe Burrow numbers. They were more like, when you looked at the games, they were more like the NFC Championship game and the Super Bowl.
Right. I think he goes back to 2022.
I would love that.
That's why I think he goes back to being that quarterback.
But do you think there's a big difference between 2022 and 2024?
Yes.
Well, passing-wise, it was.
Yeah, he threw it more, for sure. But like
not just more, but better. But
he threw it better,
Agreed. But this year, there were a lot of examples of him throwing it at a high level. It's not like there was two games.
Right.
Like, there were the Bengals. Like the Bengals game, he threw it really good against the Steelers. Mm-hmm. He threw it really good in the championship game. He threw it really good in the Super Bowl.
Okay, so that's
he had like that
5 or 6 week
stretch where it
I have to go through every one. But I'm saying, like, I think he threw it at a higher level than you're saying.
We all agree it can be better.
Yes, it can be better, but I don't need it to be better for me to feel validated in saying he's the second best quarterback.
I'm with you on that.
Like, don't turn it over, win games, make plays on third down. Like, that's what I care about.
Well, yeah, but I just feel like this is sort of, this is like faulty logic or whatever.
Well, no, because saying you need to see more from him.
No, I don't need
to see more.
Well, why not?
Because he's already one of the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Like, would I like to? Are there things he could improve on? Yes, but he is already, without question.
We're already agreeing that Saquon is not going to do what he did next year.
Probably not.
Can we just agree for the sake of argument?
But
he's going to have to do more.
No, but Saquon could not rush for 2,000 yards, but if he rushes for 1,600, that's still a huge part of the offense. So you're right. I don't think they're going to get 2,000 from Saquon again. But I'd be pretty surprised if Saquon had like 1,100 yards next year.
Well,
barring injury, which of course is part of it.
Yeah, I would say the historical data on backs who touch the ball 400 times, they do the next year is not great.
Yes,
is not great. And he's certainly more likely to get injured having the completely injury-free year.
Knock on wood.
I definitely agree with you. Like
somebody call Blue Chew.
Yeah. They should make a red, white, and blue Chew, by the way.
Oh.
I thought of that during the read. Yeah.
Red, white, and Blue Chew?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Yes. I will salute
weekend,
that.
Let's all salute. But
you have our... Remind us of that in July, buddy.
I'll try.
Yeah.
I guess what I'm saying is, I agree with you that he can definitely improve, like, without question. But where I think me and you take different paths is... I am fine if I get the same version of Jalen for the most part next year as this year. Of course, there's games he could be better, but like what I value in a quarterback, and I have, is not just a Jalen thing. Me and Spike, Ike have argued about this. Like winning games, not turning the ball over, third down. Like those are the things I really care about.
But my point would be, and I don't think we're as far away as you think. It's just this part you're not willing to concede is that
correct
to win games. If you don't have a legendary rusher and the number one defense, which they're most likely not to have next year, you're probably going to have to throw the ball more effectively. And
yes, I would agree with that.
And in those two games, and this is what I see. This is why I'm more positive on him than you would expect, especially looking forward.
Right.
Is that the offense that I dream of is the offense that dropped 55 and then 33, 40, whatever it was the next game, is we can put together the sort of team that is not nervous in the fourth quarter. Like we can have a season where we are operating at peak level on both sides of the football without putting that stress on Saquon and putting that stress on the defense.
So I do agree with you. I mean, obviously, I think it's a pretty high ceiling that you're placing.
Yeah.
You know, like not to be nervous in the fourth quarter. Like most games in the NFL are one score games. So that's not just an Eagles thing. But I do agree with you. Like there is enough, and that's why I said I would buy stock in them. I think there's another level Jalen can go to. Mm-hmm. But I have already seen enough for me to feel very confident that he's a top five quarterback, and I would put him number two. So that's, I think, where we're a little different.
Yeah, I would say that top five is within reach to me, and I did not think it was right in reach 3 months ago.
Yeah.
I would say that it is in reach. I could see a world where that's happening, but if it is...
The current world.
But if it's...
I'm kidding. Okay.
But if it's more of what we saw this year, then
right.
I felt like the team was running from him being that instead of leaning into him being that. And it is not 35 passes a game. It's really 24 to 28.
Yeah.
I really don't think it's them calling very many more pass plays.
I think it's a little more of a mixture. I do agree with you that they moved away from the passing game because he was struggling early in the year, for sure.
Wow.
But we also have to admit, like, they did have arguably the best rushing attack of all time. So it's not like they were like, all right, well, you know, let's go with Wendell Smallwood. Like, they had something to lean to, I think, made it easier to move.
That was actually a thing at some point.
I know.
Remember that.
Wendell Smallwood?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
That was when I was saying Carson
Jamal
wasn't
Adams,
winning.
Yes.
Yeah. It's like.
Was it Josh Adams? Jamal Adams?
No, it was Josh.
Josh Adams.
The guy that led the league in, not the league, the team.
Yes.
It's like the Odubel Herrera, Michael Franco era of the Phillies. Yeah. It's like, that's what we have forward to look forward to. Well, Elliot, it's always great to be blessed with your presence for a full hour.
Wow.
And I'm excited to go hear the entire cap breakdown on the Go Birds podcast.
Thank you.
Which comes out 5 days a week. It's normally there when you wake up, but apparently it wasn't today.
Well, no, there was one at 4 a.m. This is a bonus one.
Whoa.
Just because I wanted to spend more time talking about
okay.
it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. So
I got all the time in the world now.
So. Just take a chill pill.
Podcast your ass
off. Well, take a chill pill from Twitter.
I haven't been tweeting that much.
Oh, it's a lot.
Oh, have I been?
Yeah, all it's right. a lot.
I actually had a question for you guys. We didn't get to it.
Oh.
Can I just ask it and you can mull it over?
Sure.
Is Hurts the coolest athlete we've had in the city since Iverson?
All right, coming up next is Devin Caney is in Clearwater.
Seriously.
The coolest.
Jordan athlete, Super Bowl MVP.
No,
I can't think of
Love Hurts.
The mic.
Cigars.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
The hats.
Hats.
Face of Jordan?
With the berets. I don't
actually,
know about
now that you remind me about the Twitter thing, he posted the 10-second video of Jalen Hurts walking on a field, and he's like, this is the coolest
it
video
is.
In Philadelphia
you
sports
it
history.
It's a 10-second video, but it's him winning the Super Bowl walking.
Meanwhile, we have the Brad Lidge on his knees. At
That's not a cool video. That's a cool play.
All right. It's not a play.
Whatever. It's an out.
Right.
Whatever you want
Get
to call it.
Get out of here.
All right.
I'm not going to plug your pod anymore. Devin Caney is in Clearwater. We'll get to your calls. 215-592-9494. We had so much to argue with Elliot about.
Yes.
On the Sirianni thing, on Jalen Hurts, all that. Devin Caney is in Clearwater with the Phillies. We're going to be there in a couple weeks, buddy.
Mm-hmm.
We'll check in with Devin next. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fred.
March is almost here, and college basketball is reaching its most exciting stretch of the season. Right now, new customers on FanDuel get $150 in bonus bets when your first $5 bet wins. Now, that's 150 extra bucks to bet on everything from conference clashes to tournament upsets and who's even cutting down the nets. Now, if you've been waiting to join FanDuel in partnership with Valley Forge Casino, there's no better time. The app is easy to use, and when you win, you'll get paid instantly. So visit FanDuel.com/Ike and get in on the college hoops action before March takes over. FanDuel Sportsbook is the official partner of 94 WIP.